Sega's Bad Boys Podcast presents Matt Michaels, People I Don't Hate.
You're listening to the Vegas Bad Boy Podcast with Para. And finally, I actually get to say my catchphrase, the end is near, during this quarantine, because it feels like.
Hey everybody, Matt Michaels here, along with Sin City Steve and Simon Street. And today, we are going to be joined here with someone who is making one hell of a name for himself in pro wrestling, and you've probably seen him either on Championship Wrestling from Hollywood, the United Wrestling Network, and definitely New Japan. It's really cool to be joined by Danny Limelight Rivera. How you doing, brother?
What's up, man, boys? How y'all doing, man?
We doing well, man. Thank you.
It feels good to be here, man. I'm doing great right now. I'm driving, you know, going to take care of some business, but I'm feeling good, you know. I appreciate the introduction, and thanks for having me on the show.
Thanks for joining us, brother.
Thank you.
You know, before we get into a couple questions that some of the guys have, let me just ask you this. How has it been for you? You know, you have all this experience wrestling in the military, but the biggest, I think, point of your life is being a dad. How has that been for you, brother?
It's been the best experience I've had in my life. I think that, you know, when I first found out that I was having a kid, I wanted it to be a boy. And then when my daughter came out, you know, she changed my life completely for the better. There's times where, like, I question myself if this dream that I'm chasing is worth it, or there's times where I question what I'm doing and stuff like that. But when I think about her and know that she's watching and knowing that, you know, she's always looking, it motivates me, inspires me to be better and do more. And I think that, you know, she was a blessing that I needed. She was what I needed in my life, and happy to have my little girl, you know. And she's doing amazing things for herself too at a young age, so I'm very proud of her.
Yeah, that's amazing. If fans don't know, one of the cool things is that your daughter's 6 years old, right? Or right about there?
Yeah, she's six.
So she's already acting. That is fucking amazing, man. Because I started acting when I was about her age. And, that is so cool. You can be very proud of her, but she's going to be something else if she continues it. And, man, you're going to be one of the proudest dads. Already we can tell that you, yeah, but you know, she's already on her way, and that's cool that, you know, she's able to do that. Cause it's a lot of pressure, man. And that's amazing to see. I know Sin City Steve, you had, some questions here to kind of get into, man. And, go ahead and take it, brother.
Yeah, definitely. Danny, first off, thank you so much for your service, man. You served in the United States Marine Corps, and I make a point when we do our wrestling talk and three count shows to thank all active duty and veterans, because I definitely think that you guys don't get the respect that you deserve, quite frankly. Thank you. And also, most people in our audience, they know you from your time involved with Championship Wrestling from Hollywood, also intern the United Wrestling Network. We've had Dave Marquez on our show. He has an amazing mind for the business side of pro wrestling. Tell our audience what your thoughts are on Dave from a talent point of view.
Well, anybody that knows me knows that I give David Marquez all the credit for my career. If they heard me on other podcasts, I always give him a shout out because, you know, he was somebody that 5 years ago, yesterday, 5 years ago, I made my TV debut for Championship Wrestling from Hollywood.
Wow.
It was about a few weeks before that where, you know, 5 years ago, he called me after I was, you know, removed from my school and told I was never going to wrestle again. And he brought me to Championship Wrestling from Hollywood. And he's somebody who saw potential in me back then. He saw something in me that a lot of people didn't see. And he gave me a platform to showcase my talent, showcase what I can do. So without David Marquez, there is no Danny Limelight. You know what I'm saying? You know, without David Marquez, there's no Danny Limelight at Primetime Live. There's no Danny Limelight in New Japan. There's no Danny Limelight at Impact. And there's no Danny Limelight on AEW. He's somebody that really helps me figure things out on the business side, what I need to do to evolve as a character. He's somebody that's always pushing me and challenging me. And just like I said, giving me that platform on a national television scale to show the world what I can do. So I'm forever grateful to him. And I think that he's somebody who's had his hand on a lot of the best in the business. A lot of people came through David Marquez. He's been around for so long, and I feel like, you know, just having his blessing and his trust and stuff like that means the world to me. So thank you, David, for everything you've done.
Awesome. That's a wonderful a little plug for Dave. And David is also working with our boy here, Joe DeFalco at FSW. You were just in, about 2 weeks ago, I think, or so, for the Nevada State Championship Tournament. What is one of or some of your favorite parts of being able to travel to different cities?
I just like traveling. So when I was growing up, you know, my family, we never really went on vacations. We never really went anywhere. We were a humble Puerto Rican family, you know, we didn't have money like that.
Yeah.
And when I joined the Marine Corps and I started traveling with the Marine Corps, I realized that something that I love to do is travel. You know, I loved to go to new countries, new cities, new places, meet new people. You know, when I was younger, more specifically, meeting new girls in different places, and different cultures and shit like that, I had a lot of fun. And now that I get to do it for wrestling, you know, it's fun, man. It's just always on the go. I'm seeing places that people in my family would never see. I'm seeing places that people I'm from will never see. In the process, I'm getting to learn more about life, learn a lot more about cultures and you know, ways of living and that stuff that I can share with my daughter and her daughter. You know, my daughter's mom, she's in the Marine Corps, so she travels for work, and my daughter's just getting to soak in all of that for both of us.
And go ahead, Simon.
Oh, no. Well, that was some of the questions that I was actually going to ask you, you know, with being a dad and, you know, and traveling and, you know, actually living your dream. You know, what are ways that you're able to, you know, divide yourself, but still, you know, make it a point, spend time with family, spend time with your daughter? What take us through, you know, how you're able to do that?
So for me, it's time management. I'm very good at time management. When I was in the Marine Corps, we had to, you know, it was show up at this time, this uniform, you know, and do this kind of thing, right? And then when I went to go be a drone instructor and I was, you know, making Marines, I was with the recruits. I would say I wouldn't go home for like 4 days. I would be with the recruits. And then I go home finally after like the fourth day. And with those recruits, 4 in the morning, and they go to bed at 9 p.m., right? They're up at 5 in the morning. They go to bed at 9. And I was up at 3:45 in the morning to get ready, get dressed, and make sure I had everything situated so that when they woke up, I was alive, ready to rock. And you know, when they go to bed at 9, I'm still up to like midnight, sometimes 01, preparing for the next day. You know, like, it was just so much stuff to do in the day, and it was constantly go, go, go. And then when I would get, you know, when I would finally go home, I would try to spend time with my daughter, but there was times where I would fall asleep in the middle of watching a movie with her because I was just so drained from the work. Yeah. But that taught me how to, like, manage my time and how to get things done ahead of time and how to operate with little to no sleep. You know, I was getting maybe 2 hours, 2 to 4 hours, 4 hours on a good day of sleep as a drone instructor. And that was go, go, go for 13 weeks straight. They graduate, maybe have a 1 or 2 week break in between cycles, and then pick up another platoon for the 13 weeks and just go, go, go. And so that helped me. So now with the wrestling, you know, always traveling, you know, my daughter, she has an iPad. I bought her an iPad, bought her a phone. So she FaceTimes me whenever she wants. We talk all the time on FaceTime. If I'm going to be out of state for some time, we're FaceTime calling, we're playing games. She'll call me to send her money for, like, her little apps and stuff like that. we spend like, a lot of time. You know, just I'll go drive to see her. If I'm not wrestling that weekend, I'll go grab her and take her to do some stuff. Obviously, before COVID, we would go to go to the movies and get ice cream. That was our thing, you know. And then, like, for, like, certain times out of the year, like, I would take her to Disneyland 3 times a year. I'd take her for her birthday. I'd take her for Halloween time and Christmas time, obviously, for, like, the decorations and stuff. And so, like, we would just do things. And then whenever she has an audition, you know, I drive over there. She lives 50 minutes away. So I drive to her. you know, we'd work on the script, we'd work on the scene, whatever it is, and then we'd shoot the audition, submit it, and then we'd chill, and then I'd go home. Or if she was coming with me, you know, I'd take her to the pool downstairs, or, you know, just take her shopping because she loves to shop. And that's pretty much like how we bonded. So with the wrestling and everything else that I got going on, it's just finding windows, managing my time, understanding my schedule, trying to fit everything in as much as I can. And then when, you know, like when shit happens where it's a curveball and our times change or this happens, then I'm trying to like scramble things together to get it to go. And then I'm just on the fly, and I'm really good at doing stuff on the fly. So it definitely helps me when it comes to like trying to, you know, be a wrestler, be an actor, be a father and everything else, and try to fucking date all that stuff together thrown into one. And on top of that, like I'm going to school right now too. So it's just a whole bunch of shit on my plate, but I think I'm doing a pretty good job juggling it, you know?
Hell yeah, man. You said your daughter likes to shop with you. How many times have you been to the American Girl doll store at the Grove?
We've only went to that store one time, actually.
Oh, wow. Okay.
She likes to shop for clothes.
Oh.
So I take her shopping. We go to Nordstrom, or we go to like Forever 21, or we go to like, you know, all the other little stores for like that she likes. So she likes clothes. She does like toys, but that's mostly when we go to Target, she'll ask for a toy from Target, you know, sure. And then she'll open it, put it for like two times and then not use it. She's not really big into like the toys like that, you know? I remember for her birthday last year, she asked for like this $350 dollhouse, like LOL surprise doll, special kind of big, whatever the fuck you want to call it. And got it for her. I went over there, helped her build the whole thing, set it up. We played for like an hour and a half. And now she probably plays with it from time to time, but it probably just sitting there majority of the time, you know? She's really focused on the iPad now and school and then like, you know, playing the iPad games and things like that. And yeah.
Well, would you also say too, it's a bit of an advantage in a way, because when you were explaining your schedule, that was pretty much my schedule when I was going through a master's program, minus the wrestling and the traveling per se. But one thing that my kids have said is, you know, Dad, when you were going to school, it helped reinforce to us the importance of school. Is that something even at a young age with your daughter being six years old? Is she able to see that, you know, obviously you're working hard, but you're also committed into school, and she sees your work ethic, which I'm sure translates over to school seamlessly. Is she able to see that from you and inspire her?
Yeah, I think that with that being said, that it's definitely I use it as like a, how do you call it, like setting the example for my daughter, because she's not a fan of the whole Zoom stuff, because she's in first grade and they got them on Zoom all fucking day, which I think is dumb in my opinion. But she's sitting there, she's like, no, I don't want to go to school today. Or is it my off day? Like, she looks forward to the weekends like she's an adult or something. It's, like, it's my weekend, Dad. No school this weekend. And, you know, I show her that, you know, the homework that I be having. And I'm like, you know, you got to focus on this. And the cool thing is that they have this app, her school, they use, it's called like the Dojo class app or something.
Class
like that.
Dojo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that one. And like, mm-hmm. I get to track everything that she's doing and make sure she's doing her work and she's not slacking off. And she's very smart, like she's on top of her stuff, but she definitely gets that I don't want to go to school feeling, or why I gotta sit here on this computer. And I think that like it's one of those things where that's the time that we're in, and she gets to look at me as an example. She gets to look to her mom right now. My mom is recruiting me too. She doesn't have weekends, you know. She's like getting slayed. Like when I was a drone instructor, she has like a really good balance of what it's supposed to be like. So you know, she's already doing her own thing. She's already making her own money, but it's definitely something that she's gonna be able to look at and be like, you know, my parents did this, my parents did that. You know, she did this, like. And that's important to me, and I think it's important for her to see.
Without a doubt, man. And let's pivot just a little bit. Let's talk a little bit about New Japan, man. You recently participated in the Lions Break Crown Tournament, and you've been a mainstay on New Japan Pro Wrestling Strong.
Tell me a little bit about what it's been like working for them, and also how extensive their COVID procedures have been.
Oh yeah, it's been an honor, man. It's been a privilege. It was definitely one of those humbling experiences when I got the call after doing the tryout last year, and really, you know, wanting something so bad and wanting to play at this level, you know, with some of the best in the world. And you know, the fact that you said to yourself, like, I've been a mainstay
yeah.
in Japan Pro Wrestling Strong, that's a blessing itself, just being one of the faces that you see almost every week there,
yeah.
competing with some of the best in the world. And it's been great, man. I can't complain. I'm really thankful for it. I'm really thankful for the people that I've been working with, and everybody that's been really, you know, pushing me to get to that level. I definitely feel like this is a place where, you know, steel sharpens steel, and you're competing with some of the best. So, and I'm better, and I feel like that's what this roster has, is some of the best in the world. Happy to be here. The Lions Break Crown Tournament with incoming stars of the scene, guys like, you know, Jordan Clearwater was there, you know, Barrett Brown, Blake Christian, Adrian. These guys go to the final to take on Clark Connors in a match that was one of the most hard-hitting matches I've ever been in. You know, it was dope. It was so cool to represent for Puerto Rico, so cool to represent for New York, and just compete with some of these guys that are the best. And just doing it, like last week or a week and a half ago, I'm wrestling Chase Owens from Bullet Club, and you know, my feud with Rocky, and just everything that's been going on, man. It's been a whirlwind, and I'm just happy to be a part of it.
Awesome. Definitely good to hear.
You know, speaking of Puerto Rico, man, what is it about your heritage that translates well into your wrestling persona?
You know, I strive on being genuine and authentic, being as real as it gets. That's something that I hold myself to, just being me, staying true. And like, I feel like, you know, New Yorkers, we built different. You know, we are raised a certain way. We come up, you know, a certain way. We spend a lot of time with, like, our relatives, our family, and shit like that, and just grinding. And when you think of it, like, when you think of it at this level, you know, you're represented for, you know, Puerto Rico and shit. Like, that shit just bleeds over, man. The charisma, the swag, the energy, all that stuff translates very well. And I think that it's pretty dope to be able to do that for my people.
And how's it been doing? You know, you've been in a great tag team, you know, representing the Puerto Rican pride. How did the tag team come about?
And that's another one of David Marquez's things. You know, Papo Esco, he's from NorCal, and you know, he's a big Puerto Rican bodega bully. And I think that when Marquez brought him in, he already knew what he wanted to do with him.
Yeah.
He paired him up with me, and I feel like we just fed off each other. We both, you know, our styles are very similar. We have the same attitude, the same demeanor. And I think that the bodega worked well because we were just able to be ourselves and really just, you know, do what we want to do and run through whoever want problems.
And I think, Steve, if you want to get into a little bit of the questions you had there about a certain company that has seen him recently.
Yeah, definitely, man. Very recently, you've actually been seen on AEW Dark a couple of times, working against some guys that you know very well in Jurassic Express. Even What Culture has put you over, saying how you've been in their words, a standout dickhead on Dark lately. how did that opportunity happen, and how's your experience been with AEW?
A standout dickhead, huh?
Been called that one. What Culture? Yeah.
Fuck yeah. I'm gonna be a dickhead, might as well be the standout.
Right. I mean, you might as well be standout.
No, man. It was cool. It was something that happened kind of out of nowhere, but something that I knew was coming. And like you said, you know, Jurassic Express, those are my boys. You know, I've known Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus for years. I've trained with them. And just being able to go be a part of that locker room and get into the ring and just be able to showcase my talent, showcase what I could do at that level, it was dope, man. It was a good time. I feel very
grateful for the opportunity, obviously. And I feel like being able to show everybody else who hadn't seen me yet, you know, what I'm about, being able to, you know, when I came out into the ring, when I watched it back, I saw they had the Puerto Rican flag in the background. I saw, you know, the spider and stuff like that. And I thought that was cool that they allowed me to do that. And you got guys like Santana and Ortiz that are representing New Yorkers everywhere.
Yep.
You know, just being able to get in and be able to also represent my people, you know. And it was cool, man. I had a lot of fun, and I can't wait to be back.
That's awesome.
You know, when you talk about, Luchasaurus and Jungle Boy, did you ever get an opportunity to meet Luke Perry, Jungle Boy's dad?
No, I never had. Unfortunately, I never had the chance to meet him.
Okay, I was just wondering if maybe he'd, you know, because he.
I just remember me. I met Jack when he first started. No, not when he first started, but like when I first started, I had seen him. Obviously, he started wrestling when he was young, but
right,
he was just really getting into the whole Jungle Boy thing, at some like little independent shows out here in LA, and I would see him. He was a lot smaller, like skinnier back then. You know, he got jacked, man. He looks great. But it was, you know, it's cool to see where he was at when I was starting and not seeing him there and then being able to wrestle him. You know, I know a lot of guys at AEW right now, you know. I've been in the ring with a lot of those guys.
Yeah.
But, you know, being able to make my debut with somebody like Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus, you know, guys that I respect, guys that are very, in my opinion, innovative and explosive. It was fun, man. It was overall fun.
That's awesome.
Who has been your favorite person in terms of your chemistry so far that you've been able to work with?
Oof. I would say Rocky Romero or Clark Connors.
No, wow, yeah,
nice.
And TJP is like a close honorable mention too.
Yeah, and you know, with styles like a guy like TJP or Rocky, you know, how do you find yourself in terms of, is it easier to tell a story with someone that you're comfortable with in the ring as opposed to maybe having to, you know, feel out other people when you're a little newer to each other in terms of, you know, either calling a match or just figuring out how that dance is going to work for you guys? Because a lot of times now we're wrestling with no crowd. Has that been a difficult process in terms of guys you might have never worked with before?
Honestly, no. I actually like it this way, kind of. You know, I miss the crowd, obviously. I miss taking pictures and autographs and all that fun stuff. But this way of just being able to go in and handle business and get in the ring with people I've never wrestled before and to be able to tell our story and have an idea of what we want to do and things like that, it's been different, you know? But it's been fun. It's been fresh, refreshing, I should say. And, you know, wrestling guys that I've wrestled before, guys that I have chemistry with, you know, everything is better when you have chemistry, you know, like,
yeah.
I like to use this, analogy, but like the way I look at it is like, if I'm dating a girl, you know, we have chemistry in the bedroom. We've done it a few times. Like, we know what we like. And when the first time, you know, you just smash and dip on a girl. You do yeah. it one time, you have fun, but obviously, like, it's not the same as if you guys have been building that kind of, you know, relationship, I should say. I know I sound fucking weird relating wrestling.
Nah, sex, man. Nah, nope. Man. You're welcome here. You're welcome here. Because I relate everything to sex and relationships, and they look at me like,
you know, when I was a drill instructor, we had to teach drill movements, right, with weapons and things like that. And the only way that I could get through these little 18-year-old fucking kids' head, like, you know, fucking, I would always relate the weapon to a woman. And how we would fucking do things and stuff, but they grasped it, they understood it, so it worked. Mm-hmm.
You know, you said something interesting there about an instructor, being a drill sergeant, being an instructor, and you know, you've talked about the long days that you had to put in. Do you have a respect for teachers who essentially get paid crap nowadays, and yet they're putting in that same type of time? To instruct our, you know, our kids. What are your feelings?
They're putting in the same type of time.
Well, I mean,
but they are putting it.
Yeah,
they are putting in time, and yeah, I think I've always had respect for teachers. Well, let me rephrase that, because I was a little shithead student growing up. But you know, as I got older, like, and I started teaching, and that's, you know, because before I was a drone instructor, I was a Marine Corps martial arts instructor. So I taught the Marine Corps martial arts program, which is like a close quarter combat type of martial arts. And trying to make people understand and teach things certain ways, because everybody learns differently, you know? And then being a drone instructor and taking kids that are 18 years old, some of them 17, and some of them a little bit older, who've never done anything with the military, don't know anything about the military, trying to teach them the way the military is based off my knowledge and based off the, you know, standard operating procedures and the recruit training orders and things like that. It definitely helped me get a better respect for teachers, because it's not easy to be a coach, you know. But I also did volunteer coaching. You know, I coached sports for 4 years voluntarily. I coached basketball and baseball. And I was teaching kids how to play basketball, teaching kids how to play baseball. So I've always kind of had my hand into like the teaching realm. But it definitely is like one of those things where it's like, man, now I wonder what my teachers were going through trying to teach me some shit, and I'm over here doing dumb knucklehead stuff in class. You know, it's definitely eye opening.
So the lead up then is to this. Do you think that at some point, let's say you get to be in your 40s, in your 50s, that you will start potentially training wrestlers yourself?
Yeah, I think that would be fun, actually. You know, if I meet the prerequisites, if I meet the criteria, in my 40s, I hope I'd still be wrestling. You know, Rey Mysterio is 45. He's still wrestling. Chris Jericho's in his 50s. He's still wrestling. You know, there's a lot of guys still wrestling in their 40s. But I think that it would be cool. Like, you know, when my time is done and I feel like I don't want to be in the ring no more, to open the school and be able to pass that knowledge to everybody else, you know, I think that would be dope.
And, you know, and I say 40s or 50s, but at the same time, too, you look at out here, we got Sin Bodhi, we got TJP. I mean, they're constantly still wrestling, yet they're, you know, teaching as well. Is your passion for wrestling something that you developed as a kid? And was it, you know, growing up, you know, obviously we all have struggles, whatever they might be, in family, and whether it be to pay the bills or to, you know, you know, sometimes you don't have a mom or a dad there when you get home, that type of stuff. What kind of growing up situation did you have, and was wrestling a key to kind of escapism and start your path into seeing, hey, I want to do this?
Like I said, I'm from a Puerto Rican family in Brooklyn, New York, born and raised. You know, we had a lot of fun growing up. We did a lot of things in the streets and those kind of wild kid stuff. But wrestling, you know, the first memory I have is from 1997, Bad Blood with Taker and Michaels. And I was immediately invested in the story of it. The Rock is what really got me into wrestling. And when I was a kid, I wanted to be an actor and a wrestler. But, you know, career day would come around in school and the teachers would ask everybody what they want to be when they grow up. And I would say a professional wrestler or an actor. They look at me like I was stupid because I was some Puerto Rican kid from New York. I didn't know how to get into it. I didn't know what independent wrestling was. All I knew was WWF and WCW. And it wasn't until I found pro wrestling that I learned about the independence, that I learned about all these other wrestling companies like New Japan, for example. And now, you know, I look back and I'm like, yeah, I have pictures with belts. I have pictures, you know, me posing, wanting to do it, you know. And now that I'm doing it, it's dope because I manifested it when I was a kid. I said I wanted to be this when I grew up, and now this is all I do. All I do for a living now is wrestle and act. I don't do anything else, and I'm happy.
That's amazing, man. That you can't ask for too much more than that. I obviously, you mentioned you wrestle, you act, you've done stunt work. And actually, earlier this year, you created Limelight Productions, and you've begun writing, producing, and as we already said, acting in your own films. What kinds of things are in the works, man? And how soon can we look for something to be released?
I have a few short films online, YouTube, Instagram kind of stuff. But there's one film right now that's currently in post-production. It's called Joe Riv. It's about a Special Forces soldier who is determined KIA, killed in action, right? So the film picks up after he was supposedly dead. The thing is, he didn't die. He just had to go missing for the mission, right? So the film picks up 3 years after that. So he's been dead for 3 years. Before he died, he was engaged to be married. He had a whole family, you know, things like that. And so the film picks up. His sister is in a club. She gets killed in the club by some gang members. So now Joe Riv comes back from the dead, essentially, back to town to avenge his sister's death. And so the film was inspired by John Wick. Me and Keanu Reeves, we have the same birthday. He was one of my favorite actors. So I kind of got, you know, John Wick, Joe Riv. It kind of was like really inspired by that. And so in this film, you know, I'm basically doing my own stunts and I'm just whooping everybody's ass. You know, it's good acting, good action, really cool fight sequences that I came up with. I coordinated the fight scenes. I try to incorporate like wrestling storytelling when I come up with fights.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you're not going to see any Hurricane Ronas or anything like that, but you'll see some cool storytelling based off of how I tell stories in my wrestling matches. And then as well as coming back home to avenge my sister's death, he runs into his fiance who thought he's been dead for years. So there's that story going on as well. It's a short film. It's probably going to run between 15 minutes. And it's going to, once it's done, it's going to be submitted to action film festivals, and then it's going to go on Amazon Prime.
That's awesome.
Congrats.
I'm excited for it. I had a lot of fun shooting it. I worked with director Miko Saad. I worked with stunt coordinator Nick Herms, who's on Transformers, Mr. and Mrs. Smith, and many, many other projects. I worked with some amazing stunt people. And the lady that plays my fiance, her name is Lauren Mendez. She's an amazing actress. It was a lot of fun, man. I had a really good time shooting it. I wrote it myself. I produced it. And like I said, I acted it and did my own stunts. And I'm excited for everybody to watch it when it's ready.
That's amazing. Congratulations.
Thank you.
With you being an actual Marine and being into film, what is your perception of the Marine himself, John Cena?
I love John Cena. He's the best. I love John Cena. The Marine movie was cool. I liked it. I was young when it came out. I wasn't that young, but I was a little bit younger when it came out.
Right.
A lot of war movies these days are kind of weird. Some of them are cool. Like when I think war movies, like movies that I like Saving Private Ryan.
Yeah.
I like Lone Survivor. 1972 was dope.
Yes.
Yeah.
Black Hawk Down is another one of my favorite ones. And I like Pearl Harbor as well. But I like war movies. Me personally, though, I prefer the action movies.
Sure.
You know, like I like to watch the John Wicks. I like to watch the Raid Redemptions. You know, anything with Jet Li from back in the day. Anything with Jackie Chan from back in the day. I like Bruce Lee films. I'm big on those kind of action movies. I like the Jason Bourne series. I like the action. John Wicks are dope because I like the action sequences in that.
Right.
You know, I don't like the. Nothing against the Fast and the Furious franchise. I love them. I watch the movies all the time, but I don't like the action movies that feel fake. You know, like there's no way this guy could lift a car kind of thing. I like when it's like hand to hand, like the Jason Statham type fighting, shit like that. You know.
And with that, in terms of your stunt work, who was the one who trained you so you could get certified as a stuntman?
So similar to my wrestling, I wasn't professionally trained. I got contacted by Marvel. My first stunt audition ever was with Marvel. It was for the Marvel live show.
Oh yeah,
that's where I met my ex fiance at. She was a stunt woman training. So she had a background in gymnastics and martial arts. We kind of met, we hit it off. We started dating. She started introducing me to people and I just networked and made a lot of friends. And I just got a lot of jobs because of my wrestling, to be honest. Like they knew that I knew how to fight. They knew that I knew how to fall, wreck myself. I had the military training. So all that came with all the tactical training that people in the stunt world pay thousands and thousands of dollars to learn. I got in the military for 10 years of experience, you know? So I had all that training from the military, from wrestling. It bled over, and it was just easy for me to make a smooth transition. You know, I got to work with Julian Pee-wee Michaels. I got to work with Nick Herms. I got to work with Brady Romberg. Lots of amazing stunt coordinators out there. You know, and this past recently, I just worked with the Black Ranger himself. You know, and it's been really fun. I've been lucky that I've been able to just be at the right place, right time, or do something that stands out and make people want to work with me. And I'm such a hard worker when I'm on set that, you know, I'm down to do whatever. Oh, we need somebody to go to a table. Psh, I go through that shit all the time. Like, you know, like, that's enough. Or we need somebody for a stair fall. I'll fucking do it. Like, some stunt people are kind of like nervous about taking certain wrecks. Me, I trust my body way too much. I know that I'm radioactive and I know I'm gonna be all right at the end of the day. And so I do it. And so, like, they see me work hard and they want to use me again. And it's all about who you know kind of deal with that.
You know, and one of the things that, as we kind of wrap up here, I'm interested in is that with your acting background, have you achieved SAG status right now?
I am.
Okay, so
I'm SAG eligible. I haven't paid the thing yet, but I'm SAG eligible.
So for you being a pro wrestler, there's been a rumbling now because Andrew Yang has kind of come out as a wrestling fan who thinks about how he can help to help unionize a little bit. If wrestling can't unionize, do you think that being a SAG actor and working enough every year to maintain the status of health insurance, is that something that you're working to, or are you secure enough personally because of your military background that you...
Yeah. I got VA benefits. Yeah. So like, I'm super... When it comes to insurance and medical stuff, like, the VA's taking care of me.
That's good to, you know, that's good to know. What would you say to an actor, you know, a young kid who wants to get into acting or stunt work or wrestling as a piece of advice?
Look, my opinion for everybody. If you want to do something, just fucking do it. Go for it. Don't let other people talk you out of it. Don't let the hard days, you know, all the troubled times or the lack of work coming in stop you from chasing a dream. If you work hard at anything and you put 100% to it, you're passionate about it, you're genuine about what you really want, you have a strong why you're doing it, you're going to be fine. It's going to happen. There was times where I seen people getting signed and I'm like, I know I'm better than that person. Why are they signed and I'm not? What do I got to do? How much harder do I have to work? And instead of being a hater, because that's not who I am, you know, I looked at, okay, this person got signed because of this. Okay, I need to work on this then. I got to get better at this. You know, when I wasn't booking jobs for acting and stunts, I was like, fuck, why am I not getting the job? You know, and it may not be nothing about my talent. It might just be that I don't look the part they want.
Right.
So, you know, you're always going to get more no's than yes. In anything in this world that you want, you're always going to get more no's than yes.
Yep.
But you, like, same thing. You know, you slide in a girl's DM, you shoot your shot. She says no. You just, oh, I guess I'm never going to date again. No, you keep trying somebody else, right? You look for the next person. Same thing with wrestling. There's times where I used to contact promoters and they would ignore my messages or leave me on red. And now they're the same promoters messaging me and now I leave them on red. You know, and with the acting and the stunt stuff too, you know, you go for an audition, you might get the part, you might get a call back, you might not. And at the end of the day, you just got to keep pushing. If you want something, you have to want it as bad as you want to breathe. That's how hard and that's how strong your purpose has to be. And if you keep grinding, you strive for it, you'll get it. I just want to take a second to thank you guys for bringing me on the podcast. I definitely would like to do this again soon. For anybody out there that doesn't know how to contact me, they can reach me on any social media platform, TikTok, Twitter, Instagram, at Danny Limelight. You can go to prowrestlingtees.com/Danny Limelight. Check out my merchandise. Again, guys, thank you so much for working with me during this time and getting me on the podcast to talk. I got to go get ready to wrestle now, so I'm going to holler at you, all right?
Perfect, awesome. Brother. We appreciate everything, man. And, go tear down the house, brother. We can't wait to see, you know, some of the upcoming stuff that's coming out, man. It's going to be awesome.
Cool. Thank you guys so much, man. Thank you.
You too, brother. Take care. Bye, man.
Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting.